blocking some of the vehicles who were exiting.
They are close to a deal in Gaza. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. President Trump just told reporters that.
I think it's a deal that will get the hostages back. It's going to be a deal that will end the war.
He said that while Israel's prime minister addressed the UN, calling Hamas monsters.
Lay down your arms. Let my people go. Free the hostages.
Now, the president and Prime Minister Netanyahu vowed to finish the job eliminating Hamas in Gaza. He also denied allegations of genocide and starving civilians. And Netanyahu called the growing number of countries now recognizing a Palestinian state insane.
Giving the Palestinians a state 1 mile from Jerusalem after October 7th is like giving Al-Qaeda a state 1 mile from New York City after September 11th.
Now, as far as President Trump, he spoke when leaving the White House to fly to New York for golf's Ryder Cup that started this morning, U.S. versus Europe, and he was asked about James Comey's indictment.
The only thing that happened to him, he didn't think he'd get caught.
The president calls the case justice, not political revenge, as his critics call the case against Comey, and the president says he hopes others are charged.
They weaponized the Justice Department, like nobody in history. What they've done is terrible.
Comey's charged with making a false statement and obstructing a proceeding over 2020 testimony to Congress related to the FBI's investigation of the 2016 election and alleged Trump campaign Russia collusion. Comey posted on Instagram,
I'm innocent, so let's have a trial and keep the faith.
One more thing President Trump was asked about, the looming government shutdown next week if Congress does not approve new funding by Tuesday. He says the radical left makes unrealistic demands to give benefits to illegal immigrants.
These people are crazy, the Democrats. So if it has to shut down, it'll have to shut down.
Democrats blame him and Republicans for not compromising. America's listening to Fox News.
Allie Dwyer and her three sons lost their hero, Stephen. Serving our country in the United States Army was Stephen's calling, and flying helicopters was his passion. Stephen was killed in a Black Hawk helicopter crash over the Mediterranean Sea. Thanks to friends like you, Tunnel to Towers provided his family with a mortgage-free home, giving them security and hope in their darkest hours. Help more families like the Dwyers. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
From the News 11's information desk, I'm Gilina Aguilera. The Yuma City Council turned an amendment that would have required elevators for a multi-story building, regardless of the size of the building. On the 3-3 vote, the council did not pass codes requiring multi-story buildings less than 3,000 square feet to have an elevator or a lift. The amendment would have only applied to future buildings built. Still, the council argued not many buildings met these requirements to begin with, and it would cost future building owners even more money to install. Plus, a local family-owned market is ready to open its doors in Yuma. Del Sol Market says this milestone represents not only growth as a business, but also continues a tradition to be part of the community for over 40 years. The new Del Sol Market is located on Foothills Boulevard and 38th Street. It is officially open. Catch us on the TV set on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
A not as hot weekend we'll take with a high of 92 today, 73 and clear tonight, 86 with sunshine on Saturday, stray shower or thunderstorm possible, 72 on Saturday night, Sunday, sunny at 91, 73 Sunday night.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Let's do it.
Hey, everybody, it's Friday here in Yuma, and we're listening to Tone Loc, having a good time. Russ is dancing on the desk. It's all good.
There you go.
Hey, this is Money Talk. We're here to talk about an hour about whatever comes up with Money Talk. Tom Rush, Derek Egberg, Mortgage One with Derek and Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management for myself. And we're talking about anything that comes to our mind. So on
well,
my side,
short subjects.
yeah. On my side, you know, the Fed lowered rates last week, 0.25%.
Not enough.
Which, you know, they wanted 50 basis and such. So now let's talk about the Fed rate, because that's going to be in the news, because they think by the end of the year, possibly one more drop is what, you know, they're pushing
for. It'll be another quarter now.
Yeah. And they say maybe even one or two more drops. But the interesting thing is the Fed rate, they see by the end of 2026, they see it getting down to 3%, which is about a 1.5% move. Which to me means cheaper money. So that means that economy should like it, business owners and whoever lends the money. But from your standpoint, you had some mixed feelings on that, right?
Well, the Fed needs to do that. We need to make the money supply cheaper to allow people to rearrange some things. But again, if the money supply in the economy is cheaper, you're going to have more people buying goods and services, which means the stocks are going to go up, which means Wall Street loves it. And keep in mind, mortgages are bonds. So if you guys on the equity side are doing really, really well, what typically happens to bonds?
Oh, the opposite.
They're not as good. So, you know, again, I would love to see that 1.5 point drop. We need it. But everybody thinks, oh, my gosh, that's going to drop mortgage rates 1.5%. Well, no, not quite so much. It depends on what the emotions in the economy of the stock market is. If you guys dropped 10%, you would see mortgage rates come down like a rock. But
yeah.
Are you up or down?
I mean, we're up so far, but the market has been hitting new highs. And as we all know, that doesn't last forever. Getting the Fed lower like that might be a good way to not go into a recession as quickly.
Agreed.
And cheaper money is, like they say, the velocity of money. So the cheaper the money is, the more people spend it and it turns itself. I saw this week that the mortgage rate, and I know you can say it in different ways, but we got down to, what, 6.3?
Yeah, you're in the very low sixes based on credit score and program. You're seeing some of them right at six, depending. So, again, we're at the best levels we've been at in 12 months. So interest rates right now, best rates in 12 months. However, what you're starting to see, and it's interesting, more than 50% of the people I talk to right now have debt issues. And so we're doing a lot of cash out refinances and just refinances in general. But it's amazing how many people over the last 3 to 4 years have laden themselves with more credit card, more installment debt than they knew they could handle. And
so it's not a good sign when half the people coming to see you want to pull money out to pay off debt.
Well, it's not that it's not a good sign. It's intriguing to me that when we say, you know, it was a great economy the last 4 years, that people have so much debt. And so a lot of what we're living on is credit cards. Now, I think everybody should be doing the cash out refinances right now, because, again, as you know, Tom, a cash out refinance has more cost than a rate and term.
Yeah.
So I would much rather see everybody do the cash out refinances now. And I do believe, like you, that by May, June, when Chairman Powell is out, I think you're going to get the pressure relief valve from the Fed. That's when you would see rates drop. If we do the cash out refinances now, 6 to 9 months from now, then you do the rate and term, very low cost, and put people back in a better position. But waiting while you can't handle the debt right now is a problem.
Yeah. I mean, the great thing about your business is you get many different times to do over. And if you consolidate your debt, it might be the difference between having $1,000 a month going out to having maybe $600 a month going out. Mm-hmm. So that would free up more monthly to do something or pay more debt down.
There's a couple that I'm talking to right now that, you know, firmly convinced she is nervous, so she doesn't want to refinance the home because she doesn't want to put more debt on the home. But when I explain to it, look, just add everything together. Pretend that's all in a bucket. Here's your debt, and here's all your payments. Their payments currently are $2,800 a month. If we rearrange it all onto the house, the payment's going to be $1,800 a month.
Yeah.
So you're going to save $1,000 a month, and then you guys get to never go into debt again if you're going to live conservatively and run a budget. Look, go spend the extra $500 a month and just take the other $500 and put it in your investments, put it in a savings account, give it to Tom and Adrian. But you know, it's that common sense conversation that once you have it, now she's all on board because she didn't ever conceptualize that all debt totaled up equals X, whether it's on the home or car or Visa, MasterCard, you still owe the money.
Yeah.
So
now, one thing about home debt, a lot of people when they retire, the big plan is to pay their house off. And that's a great plan. And if it lets people put their head on the pillow at night, you know, that's good. But if you look at all the debt that people have, especially where rates were at a couple of years ago, you know, 3-4% mortgage, mm-hmm. You know, I tell them, try to manage the cash flow. Like, I'm more interested if someone's retired to manage the cash flow because, you know, if you put too much in your house, I've had people do this. The only way to get money back out of your house is to either do a mortgage. But at that point, people are old and sometimes they're not getting income.
Yeah.
So the numbers get very bad. Or the reverse mortgage is another option. Mm-hmm. So have liquidity, and liquidity is really not in your house. I mean,
and that you're 100% right. We say that all the time. That it's cool to have your home free and clear. But then when you run into an emergency, you got to come back and see me to redo it again. And unfortunately, when there's an emergency, sometimes that's not when you can actually finance your home. Now, the reverse mortgages are actually a good tool if, and again, how many of your customers would want to say, you know, Tom, we're going to do a reverse mortgage because we're going to end up running all of the equity out of our home when we die, and we're not going to have that to pass on.
Correct.
Now, maybe you don't need to. Maybe there's no family. Maybe you would rather run the equity out and leave your stocks and bonds growing as long as there's a plan.
Sure.
But emotionally, most people back away from it because they're like, oh my gosh, then I'm not going to have my home to leave to my kids or my grandkids. So as long as you have a tactical plan, I'm good with either one of them. But let's work on restructuring the debt now before you run into issues. Because again, I had one guy last week. His issue is he's already 3 months behind on his house.
Ooh.
Now, three mortgage lates, a 30, a 60, and a 90-day late means traditional financing you're no longer doing. You're out. So you got to wait another 12 months. So the only option this guy has is a hard money loan. Find somebody who privately will lend him money for a year or two. And Tom, if you were lending your own personal money, and this is anecdotally,
yeah,
but if you were going to lend somebody 200 grand who is behind on everything, what kind of interest rates would you want? And I'm going to call you Guido if it starts with a two.
Well, I mean, I know there's some hard lenders around town and I hear their rates, and mm-hmm. I've never hard lend myself. But I know they go between, you know, 18 and 24, right? If you're going to gouge.
So I mean, so let's say, you know, somewhere between probably 14 to 16%. So that accident not coming to see me before the, you know, the infection happened and you had gangrene and you cut your leg off, you waited too long and now you have to take this awful remedy for the next 1 to 2 years. So again, I'm happy with the people coming in that admit, hey, we need to rearrange the debt. Yeah.
Now, someone who hasn't made a house payment for 3 months, are they still working? Because that would be, I mean, there's certain things you want to pay off first and let other things go. It seems like your house would be one of the things you're trying to, you know.
You just don't know. I mean, is he working? No, he's on a fixed income.
Okay.
Does he have,
so he's retired then.
He is. Okay. And do you have the income to make the payment? Yes. But, you know, I think when something happens and you don't know how to handle it, a lot of people do the ostrich. They put their head in the sand and they just shut down. And instead of talking to me,
sure,
you know, 3.5 months ago, you wait until you get the foreclosure notice. And it's like, dude, I can't. There's nothing I can do now. You've already, you know, you're locked up.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting one. I mean, how many people do you see that pull money out because they ran into an emergency, they needed something, and they didn't plan because they didn't have 6 months saved?
Yeah, and their emergency is we went on a trip or we got a new car. That's their emergency, you know?
Yeah.
But it happens a lot. And in our business, it's like taking money from Cousin Guido because you got a 10% premature penalty if you're under 59.5, and that's also income tax. So you're talking anywhere from state two, you're probably talking anywhere between 35 to 40%. To take that out, which is...
So go back to where you were talking about, the Fed and rates. Do I believe interest rates are coming down over the next year? Absolutely. Do you?
Yes.
Okay, so we both think rates are coming down. There's only really two reasons rates come down.
Well, they would come down to lack or money supply, right? It involved that.
Okay, money supply shrinking, stock market pulling back a lot, money flooding from equities into bonds. So that, or you have just such a flood of uncertainty, maybe not the stock market going down, but
it could be look at, World War or something.
Yeah,
or,
and look at the price of gold right now. Again, that's
up 40+% for the year.
So I don't know the tactical reasons, but if you see people flooding the price of gold going up, that means there is a flight to safety and quality for some reason.
And it usually means there's inflation's laying around too. I mean, you know, more than what people might consider.
So typically when I see gold over the 25-year course of my career, when you see gold going up, you typically will start seeing more people flood to bonds. And as more money flows into bonds for whatever reason, that then will allow mortgage rates to come down. So between that and the Fed, which doesn't directly affect mortgage rates, but, you know, secondarily it does, I think you're going to see rates come down point and a quarter over the next 12 to 24 months.
You know how technology drives TVs from being, you know, $3,000 a TV down to $400?
Mm-hmm.
They say that the same is going to happen to money with the way money can be moved, whether it's through crypto or even, you know, I could sell you money in a second and you can sell it to him in the next second. And that you can do that across the world.
If you sell me money and I don't send it to him, can I keep it?
but see, the speed of money is getting really quick. Because, you know, the old days, if you're going to send money over to, say, Europe, say you had a family member in England, it might take you like 4 or 5 days to do all that. Now it's like instantly. So they think that's going to cause long-term rates to stay low, too. Like the new norm is going to be, could be a 3-4% mortgage. I mean, not today, but maybe in, you know. So that's interesting because basically technology is now having an effect on interest rates.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. And there's the technology and the resources being put into, say, the mortgage industry through selling into Wall Street. I mean, it's intriguing watching some of the things. Appraisals. Tom, do you need an appraisal on every mortgage?
Probably not. I don't know. Yes.
No, I'm just asking as a consumer. I wasn't expecting you know the answer.
I would say
so
yes.
The
right?
answer, you need a valuation on every mortgage because the mortgage is not based on your home. The home is the collateral. The mortgage is based on your income. But the valuation, now Fannie Freddie, we've talked about this for years, the property inspection waivers, based on aggregated data online, they now can see everything selling within a 90-day window, 1 mile radius. And so if your home is cookie cutter vanilla, you might actually get a property inspection waiver, which means we don't need to wait an extra week, which means there's not an extra $700 to $1,000 appraisal. And so those things, it's intriguing because guess what loan programs are starting to work on those? They're not out yet, but FHA, VA, and USDA loans, so government loans are going to go to those. But speaking of
going, is that a good thing?
It's a great thing. But speaking of that, we're going to go to a break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we've been proudly serving the community since 2001. Your financial future deserves the personalized care and expertise that only a local trusted advisor can provide. From retirement planning to wealth management, we're here to help you reach your goals with confidence. Investment advisor services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is Derek Eggeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Hey, Yuma, happy Friday. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, Tom Rush, Russ Clark talking Money Talk, credit, Wall Street, and a few bad jokes. I'm not really sure what Russ is doing over there.
Bad jokes.
Bad jokes. Got it. You know, again, it's so interesting because we can sit here and tactically talk about some of these things, and it's not emotional, right? It is an emotional subject because you're playing with people's money, and some people feel like they're left out. And, you know, just as a side, what I appreciate about you guys in your office is you can ask questions and you'll get real answers, and it's just common sense stuff. Same, hopefully, with our office. You know, walk in, have a cup of coffee. We always joke about, you know, having a cookie or something. But it's literally, look, let's help educate people, because in 10 or 15 years, are you still going to be here?
Hopefully.
Hopefully. I mean, in 10 or 15 years, I'll still be here. And you think, as long as we're still helping people get to the right direction, you want people to come back and go, you know, gosh, Russ, thank you for fixing my car that way. I can't believe that you guys did that good of a job and those other wing nuts were going to take advantage of me this way. You know,
right.
And the only reason I'm calling him out is he's laughing at some joke on his phone, so he's not paying attention. But again, it's tactical when you ask things about the Fed. But isn't it interesting? Doesn't it feel like the Fed is operating from a political perspective, like they're doing things somewhat counterintuitive? In your opinion, opinions.
Yeah, I mean, I think they probably did things politically, but it wasn't verbalized like it is now. I'm sure, like, who was ever in office was leaning on them. But the other question is, does the Fed need to be separated by itself? That's a topic that came up.
What is separated by itself?
Well, no, but that's saying in the future, though, that if you look at the decision-making, like, why is it separated? Because that's saying that...
Because it's a private organization.
Yeah, well, you don't have to tell me why, but...
So is the post office and Amtrak. Okay. But not really.
I mean, that's saying the strings that are being pulled are not necessarily the Fed pulling them. So why act like the Fed's doing things by themselves? And they think, like, if you had a, you know, I don't know that, but they're talking about the point the Fed might not be needed anymore. They could be doing it in some other group, some other way.
Yeah.
How about talk about Fannie Mae's talking about going private, right? Or public.
Well, because remember, back in under the prior 2007-8-9 crash, both Fannie and Freddie went into conservatorship, which, again, the federal government stepped in.
Propped them.
But they've been under governmental conservatorship, which means all of their profit for the last how many years? Since 2010. I'm pretty good at math. This is 2025. 15 years, all of the profit from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and they're making money hand over fist, has gone where?
Government?
Treasury. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, that's if you watched, and again, I think you're already paying attention to that, but, you know, the stock was in the absolute toilet, and a year ago they started talking about, hey, you know, maybe they'll be released.
It went crazy, right?
And it's gone crazy. But yeah, those two organizations should be operating as private companies, and they were always GSEs. They were always government sponsored enterprises. But yeah, they should be released back into the public and have to be accountable for their decisions. But man, has the government made a mint off of those two.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they would have folded up if the government didn't step in, right?
Yes,
probably.
Yes and no. I mean, here's what was not necessarily propping them up. You know, if you say FHA, VA, and USDA loans, who insures those? Direct government. That is direct government. Fannie and Freddie, private companies. Why do we call it private mortgage insurance? Because it's private. Back in 2007, do either of you know how many private mortgage insurance companies there were in the U.S.? 36. Guess how many there are today?
Five.
Six. So the market tanked and we lost 30 of the 36 private mortgage insurance companies. Why did Fannie and Freddie have to get bailed out? Because all of the insurance companies that were insuring the loans when you put less than 20% down went, oops, we're going to go bankrupt. We're going to close our doors and run away. So that was where that insolvency came in, when all the values dropped. If you went through a ton of foreclosures and there was no mortgage insurance, they could have been at risk. So it didn't go that direction. Don't know how much it would have hurt. But again, over the last 15 years, trillions of dollars have gone back into the Treasury.
But do you think with capitalism and that, do you think to have six of them is good?
I think if you saw them, I think if you saw Fannie and Freddie released to, private control.
Elon Musk? Hey.
No. I just think if they moved off of direct government control, then you would have a few more mortgage insurance companies pop up because they're beholden to themselves as a stockholder, not themselves from political will, depending on which way the winds are blowing. I mean, let's be honest. Was there any talk when Fannie and Freddie were doing amazing and the market was doing super good under Democratic control, was there any talk of releasing Fannie Freddie to outside of the...
I would say no, right?
None. So it has been political because the amount of revenue that went back into the Treasury is off the charts. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. But now that you have President Trump saying, hey, let's do this, there's a huge amount of revenue that's going to be lost. So again, if you're a private mortgage, let's say you wanted to start a PMI company. If those entities were government controlled and you couldn't really tell whether you were going to be okay or not, would you start a company?
No.
But if you knew they were in the public and you could
public
see
record
all,
and
you could see all the books and all the financials and the shareholders could see all of it, you might be more inclined to do that.
So it comes to my mind, as you know, TikTok just cut a deal where 50% is going to now be owned by Oracle and Silver Partners, I believe. So what do you think about the government getting involved in businesses and forcing businesses to do things? Because it's happening more and more. I don't know if you notice that. And not necessarily because that's from China, I get that. But they even forced some U.S. businesses to kind of change their ways or...
So I don't know enough of that story, but again, I think the TikTok story is because it was China created, China owned, and it needed to be
the logarithms and all that.
So, I mean, let's be brutally honest. Russ has been on his phone for 30 minutes right now. He hasn't said one word.
TikTok.
But how many apps, logins, connections are on that device he's holding right now?
Unlimited, really.
I mean, million,
yeah. So, again, from a control perspective, I don't like the control, but it is interesting how much we as a civilian and a citizen don't understand how at risk we are. I'm doing a loan for a gentleman right now that swears up and down. He's filed his taxes. We went and got all of his other documentation. Can't get what's called a tax transcript, the 4506 form with the IRS. So made him an account. He made his account. We tried to pull it. Guess what? No tax records filed in the last 4 years for him.
So it's fraud?
There's fraud somewhere. Now the question is, what it appears to me, and now he's got to go spend time with YPD and FBI, it appears that there's a fraud hold and somebody was filing tax returns somewhere else for him.
Wow.
Which is common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, happened to a couple of people in my family. Somebody filed a tax return, they got a big refund. It took them years to figure that out. But you don't even understand how at risk you are. And so when back to TikTok, if there's a security risk, okay, let's plug those holes. But right now, you know, Russ is on at least 10 or 15 websites that he doesn't know what cookies are tracking him or where his passwords are. I mean, the credit bureau leak, 5 years ago was 300 million Americans. I'm pretty good at math. That's more than 50% of the Americans that were alive at that point that were of working age.
Oh, that's probably everybody, really.
Sure it is. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So all of our stuff is out there. So if you tell me there's a problem with a security on an app, okay, maybe we need to take a peek at it. Oracle, I don't think, is a bad option to plug that leak based on their security apparatuses from the 90s and the 2000s. Haven't heard much of Oracle in the last few years. Have you guys?
Sleeping Giant. They're involved in AI pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their stock has gone up almost doubled in the last year, maybe.
Yeah, AI is still coming though.
Oracle doesn't get a lot of attention, but they're kind of like Microsoft. They're embedded in a lot of things that you don't even think of. But now the interesting thing is, AI is trying to figure out how to rethink businesses, right? I mean, we all have to sit in here. Russ has to handle the board. Maybe take a call, like that's just how we do radio. Mm-hmm. But you look at the future on probably every kind of work could make it where there's maybe one of us in here or two of us, or maybe you're in your living room, I'm in my living room, and somehow we
could do that right now.
Yeah, well, we We can and we can't, right? I mean, technically.
But you're saying you're going to make it smoother and it's going to make it
less people.
Complicated.
So if you have five people, now you need three people. If you, so it's all coming, right, to every industry, I think, and some of the technology. You know, even banks. I mean, you look at what some of these banks, the digital banks, are paying FDIC. I mean, and, you know, 4%. Mm-hmm. I mean, how is a brick-and-mortar bank, local bank, going to deal with that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's night and day, right?
Well, and you're saying the right thing. It's some of the frontline work that is going to go away. I mean, intake on my side. How difficult is it for you, Tom, to upload to a secure portal your W-2s, your pay stubs, your bank statements, your tax returns, your photo ID?
Click, click, click.
Cool. You know. So now there's not an assistant who's gathering paperwork. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to the optometrist because you all wear glasses. Who do you see first? There's somebody at the desk who's intaking you, right? And then you sit in the waiting lobby, and then you go see somebody who does the puff test.
Yeah.
You know, and then somebody else.
Red light.
Yeah, then somebody comes out and talks to you about that, and then you finally see the optometrist. So out of those three people, at what point does the reception person disappear? Or at what point does that puff test become so automated, which is happening in our industry, is lots of the data collection points become gone. I'm sure it's the same with you.
Yeah. I mean, paper nowadays is getting less and less and almost non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
Filing cabinet companies are going out of business.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your industry. I mean, at what point let's just pretend every vehicle on the road was a Tesla. Now you don't have anybody working on an internal combustion engine. It's what? It's a guy working on high voltage batteries and electric motor?
Yeah, there's still chassis, suspension, 100%. You know, all that stuff.
But the workflow changes, and so now there's not a quick lube guy who's doing oil changes, right?
Things do change.
And so when you say AI is working on things, it's funny. I don't know that it's AI is working on it. I think there's people who are prompting AI to do things. So like you, if you sat on ChatGPT and said, you know, what can I do to smooth out this process and spent a week doing it, you probably come up with some really good ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like you, though, our back office controls a lot of that. So we see stuff coming down through AI through our office. And just like probably you have some kind of back support office because I don't want random people to go out and expose stuff to the system. So it's happening. Now, if you were a small business, you could probably do something like that. But we're regulated. You're regulated to some degree. Yeah. So radio is probably regulated. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, that's saying that artificial intelligence is going to have a bigger impact on mankind than the Internet did. And the Internet changed almost everything. So it's going to... And I think it's going to make things better. They're talking about by 2034, 35, that all Americans will have a 4-day work week. And the reason being is for efficiency or robotics.
You're going to pay your people more?
We're going to become France?
Nice.
Yeah. But if you can get the work done through other means, like this phone, I have an Apple phone, I can get a lot of stuff off this that I couldn't have got when I started in the business.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, do I need... it's more. It's less time.
Yeah, but you have 20% more time. You're going to get 20% more done, regardless of where your level is of how much work I want to do. More hours is more work. I mean, you can get more done.
And here's my take, though. Think of it, Tom. When you were grinding, getting your company up and running, how many hours a week did you work?
Yeah, I mean, 60, 65,
right.
70, I don't know.
Russ, when you were getting your company off the ground, how many hours a week are you, or you still are, but grinding?
Yeah, it was 7 days a week, but I mean, it was, I don't really grind. I mean, yeah, I worked long hours, but it was fun. I don't know.
That's the difference.
It wasn't work.
But what you're saying is when I hear people go, oh, I want a 4-day work or a 3-day work week, 4-day work week, let's do. Dude, it's, if you're going to grow something, no, let's go 6-day work week. Let's do more hours. Let's do things because we enjoy it and we're building something for us or our families or our community.
But I will say the path I've taken, probably my kids probably got cut out the most because, you know, we work a lot. You're not around your kids. So if I could have a 4-day work week and rewind everything, I would take it.
You just play more. You
could go to the gym. You can go fishing. When's the last time you went fishing? I haven't gone fishing in a long time.
I don't want to. Yeah.
But the point is, I think it would be a quality of life, right?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have everything that you have now because it took you all of that grind to get there.
I would have more because somebody's going to outgrind you.
Because
the technology would let me leverage myself
more. But Tom, everybody's going to have the same technology. Yeah. The guy that's going to get most of the business is the one that works it.
Yeah. 100% agree. Yeah. It's still going to be the people who grind and want to do more.
When I was running even Napa Auto Parts and stuff, and people always whine and says, oh my goodness, this price is going to go up. I don't know how I'm going to make a living. I said, don't worry about it. Because everybody in this business, that price is going up. Be better than they are.
Yeah.
Same thing with AI. Everybody's going to have it, so we just have to outwork them.
So I don't know if you guys heard this, but the New York Stock Exchange shuts down. I think they open at 9 in the morning and shut down at I believe it's 2 or 3. I don't even know. Yeah. But that talking about having 24/7 now trading all over the world. And that's going to come.
But the numbers are already 24/7. Yeah. You know, the futures are out there. It's 24/7 for the numbers.
Yeah.
Even though the door isn't open.
Yeah. But unless you have a high grade account with a lot of money, I mean, I don't buy after hours.
After hours trading.
You buy after hours?
You know,
I don't think you can unless you
I don't buy ever, but yeah.
Yeah.
But you're not wrong. But okay, the New York Stock Exchange isn't open. But are other exchanges open around the world?
Sure.
Yeah. But like I can't buy off of any exchange in Europe. I just can't. Has to be a stock that's listed on one of the U.S. exchanges for me to buy.
But that's a limitation with your organization. It's not a limitation
in
Europe.
No, but I think all like Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley, they all do it that way. So well, I think the exchanges have a monopoly, call it whatever it is, and that basically trying to break that and make it 24/7 with other,
I'd be curious if someone like Edward could. I would guess that
So if you have bigger accounts, I don't know how much, 10 million, whatever, there is like Fidelity and other companies that would take you as a client and give you rights to trade elsewhere.
Right.
So that, the big guys have it, but the typical American, no.
Okay.
Yeah. But why was the exchange always shut down? Because people clocked out, went home, and now that it's been computerized for what? Near on 30
95% automation.
It's all automated. I mean, nobody's down there selling tickets and stuff, crying out loud. So you could do that very easy, but it's the fight with personnel.
Yeah.
So,
hey, this is Money Talk. Be right back.
This is Derek Eggeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we believe we manage money for our clients differently from many other advisors. Our way works in close alignment with our clients' goals. Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit YIVWM.com. Find out why investors switch to us. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and an SEC. Registered Investment Advisor.
The chills that you spill up my back keep me filled with satisfaction.
Happy Friday, everyone. September 26th on a gorgeous, gorgeous Friday morning. Doesn't it feel like the weather's finally turned, gents?
A little bit, man. I was disappointed.
Not as much as... Good, right?
No, I'm telling you, watching the sunrise with a cup of coffee this morning, it's here. It's finally here. So big, beautiful morning. And Tom, you want to talk about the big, beautiful bill.
The big, beautiful bill. So we're getting questions about what people are hearing on the radio or TV. And just to clarify some. So you heard about Social Security not being taxed. Have anyone heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
So what that really is that the seniors, if you're age 65 and above, are getting a $6,000 standard deduction. And if you're married, you can get take $12,000. So it has really nothing to do with your Social Security. It's just the fact that they are letting you not pay as much in tax, right, which really offsets some of that. So that's something that a lot of people don't understand. The other thing that's going to be really good is because you had to itemize, I think, $24,000, which most Americans didn't have, a lot of these nonprofits had about 38, 40% less money because people won't give as much if they can't get the deduction. Yeah. So now they're making that anyone can deduct or give $1,000 per individual or $2,000 for a couple. So these nonprofits should be happy because I've talked to some local ones and they've felt that.
Yeah. And for everybody's benefit, that is, even if you did the standard deductions, you could still take that deduction over and above the standard.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, you know, Trump came out with these accounts for these kids that are going to be born, but that starts in July of 2026. They haven't really came up with exactly how to do it, but basically people can contribute $5,000 a year to the kid, and the government's going to put in $1,000 right when you're born.
Russ, you going to have some more kids?
No.
Okay.
We've already decided that.
Okay. Just didn't know if Helen was going to twist your arm on that.
No.
Foster kids, adopt. But that, you know, what do you think that would cause more kids? I mean, would people have $1,000?
I don't think so. I don't. I mean, the person who goes, man, I'm going to go have a kid because I'm going to do this, is the one who wants the money. It's not like you're going to go get that money out. Mm-hmm. It's you have to contribute. The government can contribute. It's a cool savings account.
But if I was you, I would be very excited. Now, you're going to be 20 years from now. Who knows where you're going to be? But most of these, if you put $1,000 and put in the S&P 500, you're going to come out with about 17 grand, give or take. So that's a first-time home buyer.
Mm-hmm.
So really what the government's doing by doing $1,000 is letting a lot of people jump into the home buying, you know, a lot quicker. Yeah. Which is good, right?
And I think it's encouraging population growth because we haven't even talked about that. But if you look at how populations are shrinking, again, what is Social Security based on?
Money in, money out.
Truly, yeah. It's kind of like a Ponzi scheme that you have so many people on the bottom paying for so many people on the top when it was first created.
Yes.
Well, but I say that respectfully. When it was created, there was approximately 30 people paying in for each person pulling out. Agreed?
Yeah, I think it was 24, but yep.
And now it's how many?
It's 1 to 2.
Two.
Yeah.
You know, so again, as the population has shifted and we haven't had as many kids, you know, like that child credit there, you have to do things to encourage the population to grow. Otherwise, some of these programs are going to have issues.
That's why you only work 4 days a week. So that other day you can have family time, and I guarantee you kids will start popping out.
And when you're only paid for 32 hours a week, Tom, you're not going to have the money to buy kids.
Oh, actually, they're saying that's not the case. They're saying with robotics, basically, people can get compensated the same for 4 days. Who's going to make the difference up? It could be the employer. But they're also saying that the thing about already taxing robotics. So if you have a warehouse that's all robots, they can come in and be like, okay, that's so much a tax. They're going to have to get other sources of revenue besides W-2 income revenue.
See, I have such an issue with that. Let's try this. Russ, would you pay your guys 5 days to only work 4?
No.
Cool.
Now,
would you pay your guys 5 to only work 4?
If my margins went up, and I would, yes. Think about it. Like, if you made $1 in a week, mm-hmm. Now with these efficiencies, you make $1.50 or $1.35. That puts you in a bit of a different position.
It's not
sustainable.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. I think technology.
And again, this is me. I feel like it's the same as when you raise minimum wage and everybody mm-hmm. celebrates it, and you go to the pizza joint and their prices have to go up to cover the minimum wage, but the cheese producer's price went up to cover theirs, okay, and the beer producer, all of a sudden, the person who's getting it lost the most because everybody had to raise it.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen? You're going to have 90% of the people get off, work 4 days a week. And you tell your people, I want to work 5 days a week. You won't get as many people.
I'll pay commission all day long. You know, for whatever you sell, whatever you bring in, whatever you do. If you do it 1 hour a week, I don't care. 100 hours a week, I don't care.
Do it.
But when you start talking hourly people that, you know, are sweeping floors or whatever, they can't sweep 5 days of floors in 4 days.
Yeah, they can, but you have you ever heard of the Zoom or the Rumba, whatever the heck it's called? They won't be sweeping floors. There'll be
I'm going to get a robot to do the floors.
it's coming, guys. I'm just telling you.
No, I'm not saying it's not coming, but the person, like, if you've been into Walmart, have you seen those really big, you're not wrong, the big automated sweeper mopper things that now run around and have eyeballs on
it? And it's working 7 days a week.
No, but you're... As soon as you put that in, you're not paying the guys and gals that were formerly sweeping, mopping 4 days a week. They just don't have that position.
Right.
The position is gone, so it didn't help that person out. It replaced that person.
Don't you think the margins on Walmart are a little bit higher because of that? Because they're not paying the same amount for that robot they are a person, right? It's cheaper.
I'm sure the margins are better because they just got rid of several people because they have one person plugging it in and filling it up and emptying.
Correct.
It.
So when the I don't know if Walmart's a union, I think it is some places. When the union come back and want an extra dollar an hour, they could probably afford it now by having efficiencies on the backside, so people would get paid more.
Statisticians going to look at it: is it cheaper for the robot, cheaper for the guys? It's that simple. And when the wages went up, the demands went up, and the benefits went up, the robots looked better.
And you said, there's literally automated McDonald's. There's automated pizza parlors. That there's no personnel other than somebody to load a machine or maintenance a machine now.
We've got machines flipping hamburgers now.
When I was in Vegas, I had a machine make me a drink just to see how it would work.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It worked.
You
didn't flirt with the machine, though.
It was an $18 drink, but I wouldn't do that again. But I thought, let's see how it does it.
You're seeing replacements, and anybody who says, "Oh my gosh," and not, no disrespect, but the argument of, "Oh, we're going to go down to 4 day work weeks."
Nope.
No, it's replacing people. And again, in the mortgage industry, I'm going to see an entire group of people who are no longer needed in our industry.
I would love it if all my competitors went to 4 day work week.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Because cars only break down on those 4 days, right?
Yeah, man. I'd be better off.
Yeah. But how many times are you open on Saturdays?
No. But we're available.
And you would come in on a Saturday and you would have a phone call and a crew.
Let me give you another scenario. Let's just say that you have a 4 day work week with your humans, employees. But on the fifth day, basically something's being done mechanically, robotic, that would put you ahead of the game for the end of the week. With that, you wouldn't have a problem
The robots would do it, I wouldn't have anybody.
No, I know, but they would do certain things. I mean, they won't start out doing everything, but they would at least do, hey, Fridays we're going to do X, and we can do...
No, I'm not going to pay somebody 5 days working for.
And again... Part of it is this social aspect. Look at how much more productive people are in the office, in the workplace, where this whole work from home with COVID.
Let me rearrange that a little bit. Maybe I would go to 29 hours because then they'd be part-time, no benefits. That'd be great. I don't have to pay them any benefits, 29 hours, and then I'd just have more people and rotate them. So there you go.
People do that all the time.
I know. Yeah. They do it.
I mean, the younger people get hired on. I got nieces and nephews.
But to say that I'm going to pay you full-time, full benefits for 4 days a week, I don't see it happening anytime soon. It would ruin productivity in the country.
Agreed. All right, 2-1.
I think you guys think the only productivity could come from people.
If we didn't need people, they'd be gone already.
Well, it's going to be a gradual shift, I think. But hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we believe that knowledge is power. Since 2001, we've empowered the community with the financial insights and strategies needed to achieve your dreams. Whether you're planning for retirement or managing your wealth, our team is here to guide you every step of the way. Investment advisor services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is Derek Egeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. place, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Ra ra ah ah ah, ra ma ra ma ma, ga ga ooh la la, what you about romance? Ra ra ah ah ah.
Hey Yuma, this is Money Talk. Good Friday to everybody. Nice temperature here in Yuma, although it's still a little hot by from the history, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, but it feels better. Yeah,
oh, so it's good. It felt amazing out there this morning.
Yeah. So. Anyways, we're talking about the future, robotics and AI and such, velocity of money and where interest rates are going to go.
But so, automation has already hurt us. Look, you drive by the Sun, that parking lot used to be packed because that place was people, people, people. And now it's like a ghost town. This place used to have 20 people in it. Now there's three full-timers in here.
But, but if they didn't have that, wouldn't they have been bankrupt and then you didn't have the Sun at that point?
Well, that's it. There's competition. The competition would do it, and if you don't do it, you're behind the game. You're behind. But I don't know how they're going to cut to afford to say, look, let's just cut our people that are working to 4 days.
Yeah. I mean, it's a dying, hard print's a dying industry, right?
It's shrinking. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But you and I still want our news 24/7.
Yeah, and we get it.
But if I could get that newspaper. Well, maybe you could do it. Send to your phone? I don't know.
It's on my phone.
You got digital? Okay. Yeah. See, I get hard copies, Joe.
I don't get the hard copy.
Is it cheaper to get digital?
I don't have a bird. What?
Is it cheaper to get digital?
It's about the same price, actually.
Okay. Well, maybe I should do that. Save. But anyways, what's going on in Yuma? Anything this weekend? I know they're doing tacos and tunes, right? Downtown?
Are they?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Because of the heat, they're going to do it a day event. I think from 10 in the morning to, like, I don't know, 10 at night.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's going to be, I think, from, like, 5 to 10 on both nights. But there's bands down there and typical food and things of that sort. So if you have nothing to do, go down there and spend some money.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Help that velocity of money out.
Yep. And anything else going on this weekend that you guys know of?
This weekend that I know of? No, just no. Clean up, work, get stuff done.
Yeah,
I
got to finish things around the house because I've been out of town, so I got to do laundry. That's about it.
Were you out of town for business or?
No, I don't think there's gonna be a lot of business. Well, there'll be some.
Oh,
but yeah.
What were you doing out of town? I didn't know you were out of town.
I was out of town. I was a destination wedding in Ireland.
Oh yeah. How was that?
Oh, it was fun. I had a good time. It was fun. And first time ever to Ireland, and had a good time.
So what over there was something that you didn't expect that was pretty cool.
The roads were so small you couldn't get a car down them. I just had no idea when I rented a car there would be no roads.
How was the food?
Food was wonderful. Absolutely great. And the hospitality is great. The people were wonderful. And the only place to eat, they don't really have restaurants. It was just pubs where I was. I was out in the country.
Okay.
You get into the towns, you could have McDonald's and stuff like that, but nothing fast food.
But the breads and the pastas overseas.
Tremendous. Tremendously better, tremendously heavy. Yeah. The breads were like a heavier bread and wonderful.
The vegetables are usually better.
Yeah.
Fruit. Seem fresher. Right.
And everything's local, and they prided themselves. I mean, everything, I was in Doolin, Ireland, and everyone advertised local, local. By local means within 5 or 10 miles. Everything was, farm fresh within 5 or 10 miles.
So you hear the big immigrant problem where, more people are coming in.
I was the biggest immigrant there was there. That was
but
temporary.
Did you notice that?
No.
You had pockets of Indians?
In England, I did. I stopped in London for a day, and man, it was... Maybe. It was a melting pot,
But out of the countryside, it's still...
It was all country and just horses and cows and no roads. Well, I say no roads. Roads were like 8 foot wide and it was 2-lane.
Hey, did you talk to the locals about McGregor getting kicked out of being prime minister?
I tried not to cause any problems.
No, but it's interesting what happened there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he got forced out. That's...
No, I didn't cause any problems, and I wore a cowboy hat so they knew I was not local.
They called you Tex? You knew yourself as Tex?
How was the flight?
Miserable. It was okay, but it was just long
was that
and
8 hours?
Uncomfortable. 10.
10.
Yeah, just from Phoenix to London is 10.
So what's a pint of beer over there cost? Like tap?
I don't really know because I wasn't paying for most of it. But it was not cheap. There was nothing really cheap over there.
Like America, kind of United States kind of free. Prices.
But I tell you, the Guinness was better than it is here. I don't know why. I can't tell you. I'd have to talk to a brewer and ask him.
Hey, did you come back heavier or lighter?
About the same.
Okay.
Same. I didn't. I had like one beer a day. That was it. I tried not to indulge.
Overindulge?
No.
But everybody who goes over there talks about how the breads and the pastas are uniquely different. And really? I know three different people who have celiac disease that can't eat grains and breads and pastas here. And you go overseas and you can eat all day long and there's no problem.
Right. And Kennedy addresses that a lot. But we've done so much engineering to our grains and stuff that is not legal over there.
Right.
They can't. That's
why Europe won't, a lot of our grain, they won't even let you go sell it to them. They don't
right.
want
they
it.
Won't take it.
Trump is trying to get them to take some of that. And I don't know
good luck.
Did,
yeah. Good luck. But some of the roads were so narrow that it literally was a one-lane road, but it was listed as a two-lane road. And you come along, a guy hit on, and one of you'd have to back up till you had a little turnout, and then they would go. But it was all friendly. It was all expected and fun.
Were the roads surrounded by, like, walls of buildings?
Walls of bushes.
Bushes.
Yeah. I mean, there was no shoulder
and
no place to escape. You were on the road, and there were pedestrians that only used road because there's no sidewalks. So you were watching for pedestrians. So obviously I wasn't going 80 miles an hour. But
and the euro is like what, like 1.1, 1.2? It's pretty close to the dollar, isn't
it? Yeah, the dollar wasn't strong. Yeah, it wasn't strong.
Well, it's not the euro. They're off the euro, right? Wasn't it the pound?
Yeah. But the exchange rate was not favorable to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was to them.
It was. So they liked me. Yeah, they look at that.
There's always a positive when there's a negative. And so, so you got back when?
Tuesday night.
And you still have laundry to do? Come on.
Man, I've been, as soon as I got back, I was on the radio.
Okay,
Wednesday.
Stop. You get in, you unload the suitcase, you start the first load of the laundry.
We like to be married to this guy. How did it I let it sit there for a week and then I do it on a weekend. That's
well, you
me.
Don't do it anyway, Tom.
have a laundry fairy. We know it.
Okay, but back to where you started. Here's what's kind of cool is we get to have these conversations and just kind of bat things around with what's going on with no agenda. Tom, do you really have an agenda trying to color the economy or investments one way or another?
Nope.
No, I don't for mortgages either. You just try to be helpful and do the best you can. Russ, do you have an agenda with automotive stuff?
No.
No.
And, you know, we just, like you say, do the best you can.
Do the best you can. And so that's one of the things, you know, when I travel around, I talk to a lot of people. What do you like about Yuma? You know what? Most everybody in Yuma is just hardworking, wants to get ahead, does a lot of community stuff. You talked about Tunes and Tacos. There's things to do if people step out and just socialize. So, yeah. Tom, what do you like about Yuma?
I don't have to travel over. You know, we got to get from point A to point B. It's pretty fast, right? I mean, there's not the cars. I mean, I go to Phoenix, get stuck in a, you know, bad time of the day, and I'm like, oh, I'm glad I'm not from here. So yeah. I like that. The people, eventually you get to know everybody if you socialize a little bit. I mean, especially the chamber business owners.
Russ, why have you been here so long?
Just what Tom says, and it's friendly. It's everything's available here. There's nothing I can't get here. I'm like in Ireland, there was a ton of, you know, I wanted a plug for my, you know, my phone charger, and yeah, I had to go 15 miles, you know.
Oh, yeah.
On horseback.
No.
So, you know what, again, that's what I love about this is we get to be helpful, talk to people, but Yuma really is a great place, and I still believe we live in the greatest country on earth at the greatest time in history. And it's because we have men and women in our armed forces, current and generations past, that defended this country. So from all of us at Mortgage One, we thank you.
Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management thank all the military and the first responders and the Border Patrol and
everybody who
ICE
serves.
And everybody else who has to.
Yeah, same for me. I appreciate it more now that I'm back. Loved Ireland. And waiting to get back.
Usually like wide roads.
Didn't Rosie O'Donnell move
in? And
right?
We still have nice people.
We do. So have a safe and wonderful weekend, everyone. Talk to you next week.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
Still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.